Wednesday, August 9th, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every single Wednesday, and we do our best to bring you something different. We try to bring you more of a common sense approach to sports. We try to bring you a different angle. We realize you can turn on like 50 million different sports shows, but we're going to try to give you something that won't sound the same as those other shows. Couple of ways that you can participate in the show. You can go check out new articles. You can go check out a link to the podcast every single week. Just head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. In fact, a new article went up this week. Not sure if you realize this. We were able to break some news concerning an incident that took place at Denver Broncos training camp this past week. There was something that came out of their intra-squad scrimmage that you might not have seen. You might not have heard about it. You head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. You can check that out. But if you have a question, maybe you have a comment, maybe you need some advice, or you just have something you would like to bring to the show, and we welcome hearing about any subject, you can hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or head over to Twitter or Facebook. You can find us over there. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports, DALYDOSE, Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. Get your thoughts. We've got smart listeners here at the Daily Dose, and so we actually want to hear what you have to say. Now, I've told you in the past, over the summer, there isn't a ton going on. Yes, we could talk baseball. We could talk contenders. We could talk all of those things as we get later and later into the baseball season. We could talk about the Miami Dolphins signing Jay Cutler and why he actually could be better than people think down in Miami, or how it seems like Ryan Tannehill's career could be in serious trouble, because apparently his knee is more fragile than the Atlanta Falcons' psyche right now. Yes, we could break down preseason football, but remember, preseason football, aside from who gets hurt, means absolutely nothing. We could discuss Hard Knocks. We could talk about how Vasily Lomachenko looks like he might be the best fighter in the world. Did you see him on Saturday night? Wow, he looked good. He looked really good. There are a number of things we could cover, but I don't want to talk about that stuff. I don't want to do a two-hour special on why Colin Kaepernick can't get a job. We've already discussed it for one. And I think ESPN is doing that 24/7 anyway. You don't need that right now. You don't need us to just give you more of that same crap you're getting on every other sports show. So, with that in mind, today on the show, okay, is there a more important position in all of sports than the NFL quarterback? Yeah, it's really, really tough to find a great NFL quarterback. There are a number of teams that have been looking for a bona fide starter for years, and they still can't find one. There are other teams out there that have multiple great quarterbacks in their history. And today, we will begin counting down the greatest quarterbacks in the history of each NFL franchise. I am joined today by longtime friend of the show, Mike from Castle Rock. And the reason we have Mike, before I bring him on, the reason we have Mike has an understanding, not just of sports, but he has an understanding of history. Because it would be easy to say, well, statistically, the best quarterbacks are just today's quarterbacks. So, I don't know, Kirk Cousins is obviously the greatest quarterback in Washington's history. Well, I don't know about that. Mike, I want to say thanks for joining us. It hasn't been easy to come up with this list, though, has it?
You know, first of all, thanks for having me again. Always a good time. But there's some teams where it's a no-brainer, and some teams, there's a few to choose from, and there's some teams that you scratch your head wondering if anybody's ever played quarterback for them.
It is, and it's really, really bizarre. Some of the teams, as much as we have the one side of it where you say, hey, this franchise has just a ton of quarterbacks, you've got the other side where there are franchises that just don't have any. One thing I noticed when I was putting together my list, and you can tell me if you saw the same thing, I saw four types of franchises. You have one, the franchises that have great quarterbacks, and they're great. Like, they have a history of greatness, they're always competitive, they're always pretty solid, and some of it is because they have good quarterbacks. Two, you have franchises that never have great quarterbacks, and they're always awful. Like, they're always searching, they're always drafting, they're always signing free agents, and you can see, they don't have a quarterback, and they're terrible every year. Three, you have franchises that have very good quarterbacks, but they never have any help. And so their teams are just awful every year. And the last one I saw was they don't have good quarterbacks, but certain franchises just surround, I guess, kind of average quarterbacks with a ton of talent, and they have success and they win.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the different models and how they work. Some teams that do have these superstar quarterbacks and just can't find it. They can't get it going. The salaries, you know, these quarterback contracts getting up to upwards of $30 million a year. You got a big quarterback like that, you're really handicapping yourself to surround them with a bunch of talent.
Well, and we have a couple of those on the list, and you can see it pretty plainly. We've got a quarterback here. He's, I guess, okay. He has no one around him, and as a result, his team is awful. There are a few caveats that we kind of put out there when we started making this list, and I guess I'll throw them out there here. One, you're judged by what you did with that specific team, not overall. Like, I can't say, hey, Joe Namath is the best quarterback in Los Angeles Rams history. Although, I don't know. Based on my findings, he might be. I have no idea. The Rams haven't had a whole lot. Two, I'm going with the eyeball test because it's really, really easy, like I said, just to say, well, Jay Cutler has more yards in a single season than anyone else in Bears history, so he's got to be the guy. Well, we do have eyeballs, though, right? So if all else fails, here is the test, at least for me. Could a modern-day quarterback go back to a former era and have success, or could that older era quarterback come forward to today and have success? And that's a tough test sometimes to pass, but I think that gets it to the eyeball test where you're not just saying, well, I'm just going off of how many yards or how many this or how many that, because the rules and the style of game has changed so much.
True. It is a very different league. So pass friendly now. Could you imagine a Fouts or a Marino playing under these rules?
Oh, it would be just completely unfair. It would be just completely unfair, the things that they would be able to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were putting up the numbers from today back then when you could throw them to the ground, you could throw the receivers to the ground, you could do whatever you wanted, and they were still putting up huge. No, it would be absolutely incredible. Okay, we're counting down the greatest quarterback for each NFL franchise in history, and we are going to start off in the AFC East. The poor Buffalo Bills have been kind of a hard luck team.
We wait. There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
But they have had some decent quarterbacks in their history. Here's the crazy thing to think about with Buffalo. Remember those days of like Doug Flutie and Rob Johnson? Those are probably considered to be like the good old days compared to what they have going right now. Aww. Now, here's the one thing I want to do. Mike, when you throw out let's throw out like some nominees. Let's kind of go like Miss America style. So let's go with the fifth runner up and the fourth runner up or however many you might have. And then we'll get to the very last one. We'll say our best quarterback and you give me your nomination for best quarterback. Who is maybe your lowest nominee that you want to put out there though for the Buffalo Bills?
Do I have to go to five?
No. I went two or three deep on most of these.
Yeah. Honestly, the third?
Yeah.
Give me Doug Flutie.
Yeah, Doug Flutie was a lot better than I think he gets credit for. He's a little bitty guy, but he was pretty tough, and he just seemed like he understood the game, and he made plays when you needed a guy to make a play.
Just obviously not the prototypical size, but just such heart and soul. It was unbelievable watching him play.
I'm going to go with my third runner-up, and he didn't do much. He didn't have much around him. He handed off to O.J. Simpson a lot, but Joe Ferguson was a tough guy. He was a good leader. Do you realize one thing about Joe Ferguson, though, that I don't know that I realize this? He never beat the Miami Dolphins in his entire career, but he was a pretty solid quarterback. He was pretty tough. Do you have any other nominees you'd like to throw out there before you get to your winner?
Well, Jack Kemp.
Yeah, Jack Kemp's got to be out there.
I think you got to go there.
He was the first Bills, their real quarterback, and he won an AFL championship. He was pretty good. He threw a lot of touchdowns. Yeah. He's pretty solid for that era, and that's a guy that you look at and say, could he come up and play in this era? Yeah, he probably could. He'd probably be real, real happy in this era because the AFL was along those lines. Yeah, I've got Jack Kemp on there too. Okay, so who's your winner for the Buffalo Bills?
Pretty clear. You know, you got to like the guy. Obviously, being a Bronco fan and us facing him several times, I was usually rooting against him. But I would have liked to have seen him get one Super Bowl. Jim Kelly.
Yeah, you know, he was ahead of his time, too. Running that spread offense, running that no-huddle stuff. And don't forget, he did play a couple years in the USFL. Went to 4 Super Bowls and didn't win any of them. But Jim Kelly could have really succeeded in today's offense. You talked about guys you could drop into today's offense and what they would do. Jim Kelly would be pretty good today.
Had a lot of talent around him, but definitely took advantage of it.
Yeah. Let's move on to that team we just mentioned, the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins have had not one, but two great quarterbacks in their history, and that is literally it. I don't think you can even go three. You're going to be struggling coming up with a third. I didn't come up with a third. If you have a third, I'd be glad to hear it.
No, I don't have a third that deserves to be on the list. It's two really, really high choices, and then it just falls off a cliff.
Okay, but here is the question. So we're looking at Miss America here. Who is your first runner-up?
I got to go with Bob Greasy.
Yeah, I did too. You know, he wasn't spectacular. He played on a great team, and he didn't screw things up. He won two Super Bowls.
Right.
Did some good things, threw 192 touchdowns in his career, but that wasn't a real offensive team. They had a very, very good defense, and their game plan was let's run. They had Kick and Zonka and those guys, and they were going to run the ball out. Not a lot asked of Bob Greasy, but he was very good in his role. That means, I guess, we agree on our winner.
Awesome glasses.
He did have very good glasses and wore the little horn-rim spectacles right in the game. What was with those little tiny skinny two-bar face masks that the Dolphins seemed like they liked? Greasy always wore one of those,
too. I don't know if it was a cost-cutting thing or what, but yeah, it was interesting.
We've decided we'd like to cut a little bit of cost here, and we're not going to save your face. We're just going to put two small bars over your lips. That was pretty much all you got. So then that means our winner for the Miami Dolphins, we agree, is maybe the greatest pure passer in NFL history. Quickest release. Highly accurate. Insanely smart. I think we both got Dan Marino on this.
Absolutely. You know, you look at his wide receivers and the guys he was throwing to, they were good above average guys, but he made them really good. You put a lot of those guys on other teams and they're average guys.
Well, and they're both undersized. Duper and Clayton were very undersized. Yeah. They weren't big, strong guys. He had Nat Moore at the very, very tail end of his career. Never had much of a tight end. Here's a fun trivia game to play. Name a Miami Dolphins running back from that era. Right.
Sammy Smith? I don't know.
Yes. Good call. Good call. Pulling out Sammy Smith. I like that one. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Was he? I don't know.
I think that might be post-Marino, but yeah.
It might have been.
Yeah, you're right. You don't worry about a run game with them.
No.
And they still threw it down the field on you.
Yes. And I'll never forget that night in Miami against the greatest defense maybe that I've ever seen in that 85 Bears team. And I'll give Shula a lot of credit. He moved Marino around and did some different things, but they tore that team up. That was impressive. Impressive stuff from Dan Marino. All right, let's move on to another team that I think we're probably going to have a clear winner on, the New England Patriots. It's funny because the New England Patriots, they don't have this great history of winning until like the last 15 years, 17 years, something like that. Before that, they were the hard luck New England Patriots. They were not winners. Now that has all obviously changed. I don't know how many nominees you've got for the Patriots. I've got three and they're pretty shaky, two of them probably.
Well, you know, if it wasn't for being too bold on the sideline, who knows what Drew Bledsoe would have ended up being.
He had all the tools. He had a huge arm. He was a big, strong guy. It just seemed like he threw too many interceptions. But if he doesn't get hurt, do we ever even know who Tom Brady is?
It's similar to Green and Warner.
If Green
got injured, we would have never known who Kurt Warner was.
No, and he ended up being the better of the two. But you wouldn't have known that at the time, yeah. So, yeah, I have the same thing. I've got Drew Bledsoe as my third nominee. Who do you have second?
Actually, I had Drew second. Throw on a Grogan maybe or Mason?
Yeah, I threw in Grogan. You know, Grogan was a tough guy. He was known as like one of the most physical players, and he was a quarterback. Played for 16 years. I mean, he didn't have a great record. But do you realize Steve Grogan ran for 35 touchdowns? Like, that's Mike Vick kind of stuff. Steve Grogan was a pretty tough guy, yeah. And then I guess our winner, we both will agree that it's that guy that likes to deflate the footballs.
Yeah, what was his name? Tim Tebow?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Right. Yeah, like him or not, you absolutely have to give him the nod. I mean, obviously for the Patriots.
For the Patriots, yeah.
Very well could be overall.
He's just so precise.
You had some room to waver, but that last Super Bowl kind of cemented things.
I disagree, but we can discuss that at a later time.
Another show.
We'll talk about that at some point. He is so precise, though. He understands the game. He makes all the throws, and I know we look at him physically, and you say, well, he's not that athletic. I don't see his passes fluttering. I don't see him missing open receivers, no matter where they are down the field. He is still highly accurate, and he's a lot better of an athlete, I guess, than he kind of looks at first glance.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And one thing he's got is the fire.
Yes, he does.
Absolutely. I mean, you put his attitude, his competitive spirit into somebody with the physical tools of a Jay Cutler.
Right.
And wow.
Oh, yeah. And he does play in the perfect system. He plays with the perfect coach, and it is perfectly suited to what it is that he does. But no, Tom Brady is one of the greatest all time. There's no question whatsoever about that, and it's not even close as far as the Patriots. Okay, one of those teams that has always struggled to find a quarterback, and it hasn't been for a lack of trying, is the New York Jets. They have drafted 22 quarterbacks just since they got rid of Joe Namath back in 77. They're still looking. They still don't have one. Do you have much for the New York Jets?
I think our number one's pretty clear. I mean,
yes.
When you're bringing up names like Ken O'Brien.
Right.
Who else behind that? I don't know. Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, probably Testaverde. The bad thing about Ken O'Brien, because Ken O'Brien, I think, was maybe a little better than like people. Like, you think of Ken O'Brien, you're like, oh, he's horrible. He wasn't good, but he wasn't horrible. The problem for Ken O'Brien, he was selected before Dan Marino. And so he always had that comparison of, oh, you're the guy that's supposed to be better than Marino? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I had the same thing. Vinny Testaverde, big, strong guy, had all the tools. He had some good years in New York. I mean, as far as with the Jets, he went to, what, the AFC Championship when they played Denver? He had some success up there. He won more than he lost. But, no, Joe Namath is the guy, right?
Oh, easily. You know, Hall of Famer, likes to get drunk on the sideline.
Sure.
What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
A one and done there for the Jets. There's just, it's slim pickings after him.
The one thing about Namath I do think gets lost, and I know that it's easy to throw out that he was overrated. Once he had those injuries to his knees, he was not the same. If you look at his numbers when he was younger, before he really started to have all the health issues, he was a much, much better quarterback than he was as he got older, and you just saw him throwing interceptions and interceptions. And don't forget, it's a different era. He's playing in this antiquated system where it was, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust kind of mentality. He was a good passer that his body gave out on him, and so it kind of made the last part of his career look a lot worse than maybe what he was. But no question, Joe Namath is the winner for the New York Jets. Okay, coming back, who are the greatest quarterbacks to ever play for the Bengals, the Titans, and the Ravens? And Mike and I have some very tough decisions to make on teams like the Colts and the Steelers.
Now, let's get one thing straight. The Vauxhall Vivaro puts in a shift. It's a real van that doesn't flinch at a hefty load. Space to handle the big stuff with up to 8.6 cubic meters of vanliness. Bluetooth and USB connectivity and a range of efficient engines. In other words, it's a real van's van. It's...
Here you go, sir. Your hazelnut and caramel soy latte.
Ooh, with sprinkles.
Certainly, sir.
Like I said, a real van's van.
Get van savvy with the Vauxhall Vivaro. Contact your Vauxhall retailer today for a quote.
I say, boy, every time I gotta go get new boxing gloves for that daggone chicken hawk, I go to RogueIntel.com/Amazon. And I get him the bestest boxing gloves that Amazon can buy. Look at that, he's hitting that dog. That is the dumbest dog I've ever seen.
Table Reads, now part of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, this is Trevor, and I'm here with Sean.
Hi.
And we're from Table Reads. Do you know what Table Reads is?
No.
Exactly.
I don't know what it is.
Even Sean doesn't know what it is, and he created it. Well, Sean, if you had to guess, which clearly you do, what do you think Table Reads is?
I would think it's a show about a fat guy and a skinny guy reading some bad scripts that never got to be made into movies.
Experience the worst Hollywood has to offer with readings of the scripts you never wanted.
You know, the thing I love about you, Sean, ever since we were kids, is you're always good at guessing. You nailed it.
Yay!
Yay!
Table Reads. Every Tuesday, right here on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, or visit tablereadspodcast.com.
Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the powerful Nerdcast. Hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian, join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at RogueIntel.com.
We now continue with the greatest quarterbacks for each NFL franchise. Mike from Castle Rock is joining me, and we're going to pick up in the AFC North. You know, the Baltimore Ravens are a little bit tough because they're relatively new since they just kind of took over the franchise that was the Cleveland Browns. We can't go back to the Cleveland Browns history. So we've just got to kind of pick, I don't know, some kind of players from the last, 18, 20 years? Something like that. Mike, did you have a hard time coming up with anybody for the Baltimore Ravens?
By default, you got to go with Flacco.
Yeah, I did too. And I mean, this is it. This is the guy. Joe Flacco is the greatest quarterback in Ravens history. But who else is there? There's not much else. And I'll give you this. He has a huge arm. He can make all the throws. But he also has a huge contract, so he has very little help. And he's kind of a... Is this a bad comparison? He's kind of a poor man's Eli Manning.
Football kind of shaped like a banana.
Yeah, he's one of the first ones that you start to look at to see how much these contracts or mega quarterback contracts are affecting the rest of the team. Because right after they signed him, they had to let go of so many talented players on the defense.
He's never made it to a Pro Bowl.
Well, he's not flashy. You nailed it. He's got a big arm, you know. He's an above-average guy. He's not a Hall of Famer, but in the short history of the Ravens, he's their best quarterback.
He's got a Super Bowl. He's 83-55 as a starter. Is there anyone else that you would even mention with the Baltimore Ravens?
Dilfer.
Right. I mean, he was only there the one season. There is not much to talk about with the Ravens. I'm not even going to mess around. We're just going to move on. The Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals have had some solid players at quarterback. They just haven't been surrounded with much help until recently. They finally got some more talent. But overall, I had two, maybe three nominees for the Cincinnati Bengals, but I came up with one that was the guy. What do you have on your side?
Well, I think Dalton can get there. Obviously, he's got a issue of winning in the playoff, but he's taken them to the playoffs, I think, 5 years in a row, which no other quarterback for them has done. Boomer Esiason was very good. But overall, I think Kenny Anderson.
You know, Esiason was another guy that was a little bit of ahead of his time. He was running that no-huddle stuff with Sam Weish and doing some good stuff. They went to the Super Bowl and just had the kind of the misfortune of running into Joe Montana. But yeah, Kenny Anderson, smart guy, tough guy, very, very accurate. Another guy that lost to Joe Montana, but he didn't have a whole lot of help. Name the guys that were on that offense with Kenny Anderson.
Right, yeah. It's kind of funny because back in... Jeez, when was it? '80s into the '90s when the NFC won like 13 Super Bowls in a row or something like that.
Yeah.
Most of the AFC teams that won it had a very good quarterback, and that's where it ended.
Yes, you're absolutely right. They had the great quarterback, and they didn't have much on the defensive side, and they didn't have a whole lot in other skill positions on the offensive side. Anderson falls in there. Elway obviously falls in there.
Honestly, Kelly, they had a great offense.
They did.
They just ran into a time when the NFC was so dominant.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFC Championship was named the Super Bowl for a decade because...
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty much a given.
Every single year. AFC had no chance. You were just looking on that other side every single time. And a lot of it was because they just had quarterbacks. And none of those teams, if you remember, didn't have much in the way of a running game. The Bills probably had the most. They had that spread, hand it to Thurman kind of stuff. It wasn't like a full-on smash-mouth running game. Until Denver won that in 97, you didn't see that from the AFC side.
Right.
Which is exactly how teams like the Giants and teams like the Cowboys and so that's how they were winning with those styles of offenses.
Redskins,
yep. Okay, let's get out of Cincinnati. Let's move on to Cleveland, and this is a little bit of a tough one after the top guy. Cleveland Browns have struggled to find any consistency, and I think you can probably look just at the quarterback, see how many quarterbacks they've gone through, and you understand why Cleveland has suffered so much. I've got the top guy, and after that, it really, really drops off.
I might not have quite as big of a drop-off as you, but I think number one is pretty obvious, and it's pretty sad when you're going back, six decades?
Yes, correct. You have to.
Yes, and obviously it's Otto Graham, and I'm going to guess that 50%+ of your listeners just went, who?
Right. Otto Graham is the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL based on the rules that we follow as long as they suit our agenda, because he won 7 championships. I think 7's more than 5, but I might have my math wrong. I don't know. And I think he played in 10 championship games, so that's even more, too. Otto Graham was pretty good, And I think he probably could have played in any era. I'm actually more interested to know who you have as the next guys below Autogram.
Gotta give it to Bernie.
Yeah. Bernie Kosar is the second best quarterback in Browns history.
Yes, yes. Took that team to 3 AFC championships in a 5-year span.
He was so slow, he had to start his snap with his leg in the backfield. But he was smart, he was accurate, and he was very, very tough. Browns fans are still mad that Bill Belichick cut him. Here's something funny, though. Bernie Kosar does have a Super Bowl ring. He won it when he was with Dallas, but he does have a Super Bowl ring.
I was trying to remember who he was a backup for. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He was with the Cowboys. Brian Sipe had a big arm. He had some mobility, but Brian Sipe unfortunately tended to make the big mistake at crucial times, as we saw with Red Wright 88 back in 1980 against Oakland.
49 seconds to go. Into the end zone. Was it intercepted?
I think Oakland got it.
Oakland intercepted the ball.
Michael Davis is the man that picked it off. That's just a great play at a very critical time.
Because a field goal would have won it, and he decided to throw it to the other team. So Brian Sipe at least threw the mention out there. But let's move on to one that I had a little bit of a struggle with. The Pittsburgh Steelers, again, they've had 2 excellent quarterbacks in their history. One had way more talent around him than the other. The other guy is a physical freak that I don't know what you do with. Who did you have as the best quarterback in Pittsburgh Steelers history?
So going down the exact same road you just mentioned.
Yes.
I'm leaning towards Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls, but you could fill up a room with Hall of Fame busts with his teammates.
Right.
Especially on that defense. Well, in the offense, too. I mean, that was an unbelievable team, an absolute unbelievable team. Not to take anything away from him, but like you said, the eyeball test. I just think Roethlisberger has done more with less.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And one of the things that, you know, Roethlisberger has had some offensive tools around him. He's had to overcome his defense throughout his career. It's rarely been very good at all. Bradshaw had a phenomenal defense where he knew, hey, if I score 10 points, I probably win this game.
Right.
That's a much different mentality. Could Bradshaw have been successful in any era? Possibly. Could he have won all those Super Bowls without that team around him? I don't know. I don't know that he could have won 4. And Roethlisberger...
I would lean towards no.
I would too.
Just because of the incredible talent he had around him.
He had so much. And he did get better with age. He was much more erratic early. We saw as he got a little bit older, a little bit smarter, you saw in those later Super Bowls, he was very, very good in those years. He didn't have to carry a team like sometimes Roethlisberger has had to do. If you look at Roethlisberger, you can put him in any era ever. And I mean, you can go back to like Rome and put him back there. He could have competed. He is just such a physical freak.
Tough, tough, tough guy. Tough guy. He's going to be on a walker by the time he's 60.
Sure he is.
If not sooner.
Right. Now, the one thing I will give Bradshaw over Roethlisberger, he doesn't whine as much. So I'll give him that. Roethlisberger's a little bit...
almost say that generation to generation.
Oh, sure though. You could. Sure you could. But Roethlisberger's a little bit drama, isn't he? A little bit drama?
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to move on to the AFC South, and we've got another franchise that just doesn't have much in the way of their history. This may have been one of the toughest ones for me to pick because they don't have anyone. Can I just pass on the Houston Texans? Can I just go to the next team?
When the thought of Deshaun Watson creeping up into
see,
the top 5...
he hasn't played a game. I don't know. He might be.
Yeah, you know, I put a name up there just by default just because I don't like blank spaces.
I can't wait to hear who you have.
Schaub.
You put Schaub. I have Schaub as my runner-up. I put Schaub as my runner-up.
Okay. Okay, Texans
yes.
have been in existence for 15 years.
Right.
He's the only quarterback to make a Pro Bowl.
Correct.
In their entire
and
existence.
And he did it twice, yeah. And he is the winningest quarterback in Texans history. It's kind of like being the winning presidential candidate in this past election. I don't know if it means a whole lot. You know who I went with? I went with David Carr. Because poor David Carr was this big, strong kid coming out of Fresno. Then he goes to Houston. He got sacked almost 300 times, and Houston, like, broke him. Like, they ruined him. And he was a good player before that.
Yes. I actually had him as runner-up.
Okay, so we just had those swapped.
Yeah, yeah. absolutely.
Like, if we put him on today's Houston Texans, we're talking about David Carr in a whole different light, because I think he could play. He just got put in a horrible situation.
It was a no-win situation.
Brutal. Okay. As brutal as that was, now we're going to go to one that I am probably struggling the most of any of these that we've done so far. I am having a hard time. Because not only do the Colts have two great quarterbacks in their history, they have two great quarterbacks that are among the greatest quarterbacks of all time. They are both innovators that completely changed the game. I'm telling you right now, I have these in a certain order. I might change the order as we speak. Okay, Indianapolis Colts. We go back to Baltimore Colts.
Yep.
Do this. Give me your runner-up. Who's your lowest runner-up that you have for the Colts?
If you want to go all the way to three?
Sure, let's go to three. I've got three.
Earl Morrill?
I thought you were going to say John Elway. Okay.
You know, give him an offensive line and Luck's going to creep up to three pretty soon.
Unfortunately, they're not giving him that.
No.
And he's creeping down, and he's going to be out with another ruptured spleen soon. I actually went with Burt Jones. He's nowhere near the level of the top two guys. But Jones, he was very, very talented. He's kind of a crybaby, but he was really, really talented. He was completing like 60% of his passes like for a year or two or three. I mean, he very, very physically talented. But again, he's not at the level. Okay, I'm going to ask, who is your... Let's go with your winner. Who is your winner for the Indianapolis Colts?
Like you, this is one of a handful of teams that I really struggled with. I could probably be swayed with a reasonable argument one way or the other.
Okay.
It's a 1-1, or 1A and 1B for me. I went Manning as my number one.
Okay, and I completely understand that. You know, he didn't throw spirals. His arm wasn't that strong, but he was so accurate. And his ability to read a defense and attack them is probably second to no one. What he did in Indianapolis with that team, and don't forget when he took that team over, they were garbage. They were horrible. He made average players great. Think back to some of the players that, I know he had Marvin Harrison, and he had, when he was here, of course he had Demaryius and guys like that. Think of some of the average players that he made look so good. Guys like Dallas Clark, guys like Julius Thomas. He made guys like that a ton of money.
Blair White.
It's amazing. And he spread the ball out so much. No, Peyton Manning, goofy. And the hard part about Peyton is because we always remember the most recent memory. And so you look back, yeah, he totally wore down. When he was in his prime, especially though, you want to talk about deadly. He could just attack you from anywhere on the field. He was so, so smart. Always seemed like he got them to the right play. And I'm going to put him at number two.
What? I don't know how exactly you can measure it, but if there was a way to do it, I'd lay money that he's got the highest football IQ in history.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I hate to throw out the word genius with football players. Football-wise, he may have been a genius.
When he was here in Denver and threw the 6 touchdowns against Baltimore, without hesitation, he named the other 3 guys that he tied, and 2 nobody's ever heard of.
Right. No, he was an encyclopedia. And the same way with just plays and recognizing defenses and how he was going to attack a defense when he saw it. He already knew where he was going with the ball before the ball was ever snapped to him. He already knew because he had already seen it. I'm putting Johnny Unitas at number one, though. I'm sorry. And here's my reason.
Absolutely no apology necessary. That is a coin toss.
The reason that I'm doing it, like you said, I can be swayed either way. Without Johnny Unitas, there probably is no Peyton Manning because he was the guy that started using timing patterns, started going with hurry-up offenses, starting running a 2-minute offense. The staple of what Peyton Manning did is what Johnny Unitas did in an era of vanilla offenses that were doing nothing imaginative whatsoever in the passing game. That's the only reason that I'll put Unitas an eyelash ahead of Manning. I'm okay either way. I'll go with Johnny just because I think he paves the way for a guy like Peyton to come along.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, you could argue either way.
Pretty incredible, the quarterbacks that Indianapolis has had. And now you've got Andrew Luck, a guy that has the physical tools. They just haven't surrounded him with anything whatsoever. But, I mean, pretty fortunate, you know, the Colts fans that have got to cheer for both of those guys. Wow, two amazing quarterbacks. Okay, so we're at one of our most difficult ones. We're going to go to another difficult one, not quite as bad. But, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars haven't had much sustained success as a team. And I think it is directly due to the fact they haven't had a sustained quarterback. Like, they can't keep a quarterback either healthy or just find a good one. Jacksonville, my top guy was pretty easy. It was hard to come up with much else, though.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement, and it's funny you mentioned keep him healthy, because until he blew out his knee, he was kind of lighting things on fire, Mark Brunell.
Yeah, Mark Brunell is my winner, too. You know, he's a lefty. He was so dangerous. And remember when he took the job, this was an expansion team. They were starting from the ground. He had them in the playoffs in like 2 years or something like that. It was really, really quick. But he was such a good passer, and he was so dangerous with his feet. We all, of course, remember here in Denver, him taking off and running, and you couldn't find him. He was a quick, explosive runner that all of a sudden you're like, what just happened? He just ran for 30 yards.
Means him second and nine. 4.5 minutes left. Trying to keep the ball away from Elway. Brunell slips away. What a move. Still on his feet to the sidelines at the 40. Another block. Brunell 30, 25, and dives at the 21. Oh, my. What a.
Mark Brunell, easy winner. Do you have anyone else even on the list?
David Garrard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was dangerous for a couple of years, I guess. Byron Leftwich was a big, strong guy.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to read a defense and threw a lot of interceptions, but he was a big, strong guy, that means anything.
You can almost lump those two together.
Yeah, they're almost the same. One's just a giant, but no, they both, I guess they had like a year or two that were kind of a bright spot, and other than that, not much. All right, let's go to a franchise that surprisingly might be a little bit underrated. Because going back to when the Tennessee Titans were the Houston Oilers, they've had some pretty decent quarterbacks in their history. The problem has always been they haven't had much talent except for the quarterback or except for the offense. Either way, the Tennessee Titans have some, I've got three pretty good quarterbacks on this list.
Yeah. Well, and two of them go back to the Oiler days for me.
Yeah.
Going way back, you know, Pastorini.
Pastorini was pretty good. He doesn't have the numbers of the top guys, but and probably because he threw too many interceptions, but don't underestimate his toughness. Dan Pastorini played a game with a broken rib and a punctured lung.
Yeah.
That's a tough dude.
Yeah.
Is that your number three?
That's my number three. Number two, I think he's kind of underrated overall, Steve McNair.
Steve McNair is really, really good. Yeah, he is underrated. And, you know, when he came out of Alcorn State, I think everyone just assumed he was going to be this running quarterback. No, that's not what he was at all. He's this big, strong, tough, accurate passer. He took the Titans to a Super Bowl. That's like all you need to say, isn't it? The fact that he got Tennessee to the bowl.
Right. And you ask most casual fans, which quarterback has the franchise record for most wins for Tennessee? Most of them aren't going to come up with McNair, and he's got it.
And he's got it. No, they were very good. With Steve McNair, he was a tough guy. He was a fun quarterback to watch.
His third down and five from the 27. Three receivers set to the right. McNair stepping up.
Uh-oh, you got him, you got him.
Rolling, needs help, stays on his feet somehow, throws, 11-yard line, it's caught, first down. They saved their timeout, they have it here, they stop the clock. Kevin Dyson made the catch.
Wasn't always pretty.
With the ownership or something, why didn't he? That was kind of a weird deal.
Yeah, because he ended up leaving and going to, was it Baltimore for a minute? He was a good quarterback, though. Who's your winner?
Sounds like we're agreeing on number one.
Yeah, it's got to be the same guy, doesn't it? Speaking of underrated.
Agreed. It's unfortunate he spent so much time in the CFL. He was undrafted.
Yes.
And, you know, you mentioned Marino. He's not that far behind for one of the prettiest balls thrown.
Yeah, Warren Moon might be the most underrated quarterback ever. He threw one of the prettiest passes ever. And like you said, if he hadn't had to waste that time in the CFL just because of the fact that people wouldn't let him play in the NFL because they didn't think a black quarterback could do what he could do, Warren Moon was absolutely phenomenal. And what a perfect fit for that wide open spread crazy Oiler offense that they had in those days. Tell me Warren Moon, you couldn't drop him onto the New England Patriots and win a few championships right now.
Oh, absolutely.
He'd love it these days.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with the rule changes now.
Oh, yeah. You can't touch him and you can't touch his receivers? That'd be unfair.
Strong, deadly, accurate. That would be a sight to see.
The problem with Moon, again, he didn't have defense, and he didn't ever have much of a running game that could work any clock for him. And as a result, they'd end up giving up these huge, huge comebacks because they couldn't hold on to a lead because you depended on Warren Moon to do everything.
It was a fun one to watch. Yeah, absolutely. It was a fantastic quarterback that doesn't get a lot of mention as far as the NFL greats.
Yeah, and he is one of the NFL greats. Hey, coming back, who are the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the AFC West? There have been some great ones.
Now, let's get one thing straight. The Vauxhall Vivaro puts in a shift. It's a real van that doesn't flinch at a hefty load. Space to handle the big stuff with up to 8.6 cubic meters of vanliness. Bluetooth and USB connectivity and a range of efficient engines. In other words, it's a real van's van. It's...
Here you go, sir. Your hazelnut and caramel soy latte.
Ooh, with sprinkles.
Certainly, sir.
Like I said, a real van's van.
Get van savvy with the Vauxhall Vivaro. Contact your Vauxhall retailer today for a quote.
Hey, just a quick reminder. Make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. Do any shopping that you may need to do. Loot Crate, of course, delivers the best in merchandise and collectibles, featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. You can go order just one single crate. You can go get a subscription of crates that arrives every month, or you can just order individual items. The August crate is called Kingdom, and it features items from Lord of the Rings, Adventure Time, and The Legend of Zelda. They have most any kind of merchandise you can think of over at Loot Crate, and this is licensed memorabilia. This isn't any of the knockoff stuff. You can always go back. You can order past crates. You can order past items from past crates. And the best part about ordering is when you place your order at checkout, just put Daily Dose, DALYDOSE, in the coupon box. We'll get you 10% off of your order. Now, if you would like to recommend the podcast, and we would appreciate that so much if you do. It's not like we're taking out ads on billboards or in magazines or anything like that. We pretty much rely on you sharing the podcast. Please let your friends, your family, your coworkers know. They can subscribe to the podcast wherever fine podcasts are hosted. You can go over to Apple. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it in a number of different places. Pretty much anywhere that has podcasts is going to have the Daily Dose. Of course, blogtalkradio.com. They've got every single episode over there. And if you go over to blogtalkradio.com and you just click the follow button or subscribe button, you'll be sure that you never miss an episode. And if you'd like to share the podcast, you can just click the share button and you can send either that friend or that family member a link to the show without actually having to talk to them. And if they're kind of technically challenged, it helps them out because they just get that link directly sent to them. Sometimes that's a little bit easier for the people who are technically challenged. Make it a little bit easier for them to listen to the dose. Also, make sure that you stop by our podcast network page, rogueintel.com. Of course, the Daily Dose is a proud member of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, and they've got a number of other podcasts over there. Little bit different. Might not be about sports. Could be about a number of different things, but they're going to have some things over there that you're going to like. Go check out a few of the shows that are going up over at rogueintel.com. We now return to the greatest quarterbacks in franchise history, and we have reached the AFC West. You know, the Denver Broncos had the reputation for years of having nothing but journeyman quarterbacks. And it started to change in the early 70s. They grabbed veteran Charlie Johnson. He put up some big numbers. Craig Morton at least took him to a Super Bowl. It may not have been that pretty. And then they got John Elway. And now, I guess, even though it was a short amount of time, I guess you could say they've had two of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. Denver Broncos, Mike, you're a Broncos fan. We are born and raised here in the state of Colorado. Anybody else you want to put on this list for the Denver Broncos? Does your list go beyond two for the Broncos?
Being a Broncos fan, I could throw a few guys up there that were, you know, kind of some fan favorites and whatnot, but as mentioning any of them with the term great would not apply.
No, there's really just two that can really be up, probably up on the billboard.
They're both in the Hall of Fame. It's pretty easy simply because of what he meant to the franchise, how long he played, put Denver on the map per se. Elway's got to be a clear number one.
Yeah, and he was just here so long. The funny thing about Elway, and I know for anyone listening out there, we remember John Elway in those last two Super Bowl years. But I think people forget what an amazing athlete he was when he was younger in his career. I think it was actually more impressive in a lot of ways. Those teams that were getting to the Super Bowls, and yes, they were getting blown out. How in the world he was dragging teams to the Super Bowl that you can't even get another player mentioned to the Pro Bowl off of those teams Go back and watch the drive in Cleveland and remember he was on a bad ankle and watch him outrun corners. John Elway was a freak of nature when he came out.
Every yard of those 98 yards was either off his arm or his legs. They did not run the ball.
No, they couldn't run the ball.
It was either a scramble or a pass from Elway that entire drive. Just an absolute pleasure to watch. You knew you were never out of a game. Exciting, athletic, talk about a strong arm. Just an amazing, amazing athlete.
So then I'm assuming your number two is probably Tim Tebow.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're on the same page then.
Detroit here, where we left like 63-10. And,
we don't talk about that.
It's funny because I've got him in top two on two different teams, but Peyton Manning, obviously. Just funny because number one and two are related in different ways.
Sure.
We're both on this list, but it's because of number one that number two came here.
Yes.
The season he put together, that record season that they got destroyed in the Super Bowl, but oh my, that was absolutely ridiculous. To think that Peyton Manning was beating some of the all-time records that he held.
Right. Most points in a season.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
It was phenomenal. An absolute blast to watch. But yeah, it's been after that. Hey, here's something for you. How far down the list do you have to go before you get an all-time great quarterback from Denver that Denver actually drafted?
Oh, I don't know that you will. That's a great question, and I'm glad you just asked that. Okay, so let's go down the list. Plummer, no. Brian Greasy?
Maybe.
Maybe he's like fifth or sixth.
He's got to be.
Brian Greasy's got to be the guy. Morton obviously came as a free agent.
Cutler?
Cutler's.
How much am I stretching there?
Yeah, Cutler's maybe seven or eight. He's in there somewhere. I guess. Yeah, you're right. And Elway was a trade, so he's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have not drafted. That doesn't bode well for these two guys that are on the team trying to win the starting job now, does it?
No. They need to change history for sure.
Who's the next big free agent coming out? Kirk Cousins, you're the next great Bronco quarterback. Yeah, you know, Peyton Manning was only here for 4 years. He went 45-12. You kind of forgot what it was like to lose games. You were just so used to winning. It was short, but man, that was an amazing era in Broncos history with Manning.
I don't remember what the number was, but the amount of games in a row we won in our division was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Was it five division titles in a row?
Yeah.
Of course, Tim Tebow won one of those.
But yeah, I'm kind of biting
sort of,
ball, but yeah.
Sort of. Manning threw 140 touchdowns in the regular season in his 4 years here. Okay, we can't stay. We could. Don't get me wrong. We could stay on the Broncos the rest of the show, but people will start turning this off. So we're going to switch.
Great.
And we're going to go to another team that has been searching for the next great quarterback since Grover Cleveland was in office. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you have much for the Chiefs?
Beyond number one? No.
See, I've got three. I've got three, but it's one, and then it's way down is two, and then.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're in agreement that Lynn Dawson, Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Clearly the best quarterback of all time in Chiefs history. He played like a total of a season and a half. Can you count Montana?
Yeah, and you know, he was like 37, 38 when he went there. He played two seasons. He wasn't as good as he had been, but he got the Chiefs to the AFC Championship. That's farther
than
they'd...
The last time they've been.
Right. And kind of looks like the last time they're going to go for a while at the rate things are going in Kansas City right now. You know, Lynn Dawson, I don't know if he gets the credit he deserves. And I know he'd go into the locker room and, like, smoke a couple of heaters, but, man, he was Joe Cool before Joe Cool. Spread the ball around. He was pretty precise with his passing. Got the Chiefs to a Super Bowl and to a win. Lynn Dawson was pretty good. Yeah, next down, I've got Joe Montana. Do you have anyone at three? That's my question.
Trent Green, maybe? Could you put Alex Smith there? That's a stretch.
Yeah, probably. You know who I've got? The only reason I've got him there is because I wanted to mention him at some point. I've got Steve DeBerg. And I'm going to tell you why, because a lot of people look at Steve DeBerg and they say, man, that is one unlucky guy. I mean, he's in San Francisco and then they get Montana. And then he was in Denver and they get Elway. And he was in Tampa and they get Steve Young. And he was in Kansas City again and they got Montana. And it seems like he's not unlucky. In fact, I'll go so far as to say this. The Denver Broncos should go sign Steve DeBerg right now.
What?
Because it means a great quarterback is coming right after you get him.
Be okay with that.
I would too, and he's probably better than what we have. No, Steve DeBerg is like the harbinger of doom. He's the harbinger of a good quarterback coming
yeah,
eventually.
Absolutely.
It's just, you got to be patient. And he's not always going to be pretty while he's there. But eventually, you're going to get that good quarterback that you wanted. We've got two teams left, and they are a little bit tough. I guess now we have to say Los Angeles goes before Oakland instead of San Diego going after Oakland. Los Angeles, this is kind of an odd one because the Los Angeles Chargers have a history of really good quarterbacks, bizarrely. Unfortunately, they also have stingy owners that won't pay to get any talent to surround these quarterbacks, so their quarterbacks are left to battle better teams every single year. I've got three guys down for the Chargers. I don't know how many you have.
I went to two pretty obvious ones.
Okay.
To me, it was a little thin after that, but I can make a case for a couple guys. A lot of people forget Drew Brees was actually a pretty good quarterback for the Chargers.
Yeah, he was. He was, and you know, he had the injury, and then they weren't sure with the shoulder injury that he had. They didn't know if he was ever going to be right again. And of course, again, the Chargers weren't going to, you know, pay him and find out.
Right.
So he ended up leaving and going to the Saints and doing what he's done there. Yeah, I could totally see putting Drew Brees on there. I've got John Hadle on there. You know, he had played quarterback and running back in college. He was an athletic guy, but he did something that our top two guys, at least I think we have the same two guys at the top, he did something they haven't done. He actually won a couple playoff games in the AFL. Went to a few Pro Bowls. John Hadle wasn't bad. Who's your number two guy then?
You know, when I first looked at that, I thought this was going to be pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Then when I started looking into it, I really struggled putting these guys in order.
It's tough. This was one I struggled with, too.
You know, I think, and it's funny because I've got it written down, I think I'm going to flip-flop. I think I'm going to put Rivers as a extremely close number two and Fouts number one.
Yeah, that's how I've got it. And Rivers is, you know, he's very efficient. He's done most of it without much help. Aside from Antonio Gates, can you name a bona fide receiver that he has? And I know Gates is a pretty big one, but
you mean that's not on the injured reserve?
Exactly. Exactly. Because every single year, he loses his best receiver, it seems like.
Competitive fire. You'd mentioned Weiner before. That act gets a little bit old, but
yeah,
he's such a competitor. Honestly, I hate playing against him. He always plays well here in Denver.
Yeah, he does.
He's personally responsible for increasing the population of Southern California.
Yeah.
My number one and number two are not, they're soft. I could be convinced to go the other way.
Oh, I completely understand.
But Fouts, wow. And again, we keep talking about guys that played a few decades ago that would just light it up today. He lit it up then.
Yes.
It'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, he was playing today's brand of football in the 70s and the 80s. The Chargers were spreading people out, throwing the ball all over the place. Fouts threw for over 43,000 yards in an era where you could blast him and his receivers all you wanted. Imagine if he played now when you couldn't touch him.
Yeah.
No, Fouts.
And he played for a while, too, getting knocked around. He got hammered.
Didn't always have the greatest offensive lines.
He had lead feet, but yeah.
Well, and I just remember the Broncos, we'd play them. We'd knock him down. He'd have blood coming out of his mouth. You'd be like, oh, we knocked him out of the game. I don't even know who their backup is. I have no idea who they even have as backup. He'd stand up and throw a touchdown. You're like, what just happened?
Yes. Yeah. Tough guy. Super tough guy.
Very tough
fun
guy.
Fun team to watch. Absolute fun team to watch.
Yeah, they were. And it's funny because I didn't hate the Chargers at that time because I just enjoyed them from an entertainment standpoint. And I didn't like them. I mean, I'm a Broncos fan, but I remember just like, no, like if they're on a Monday night, I'm watching them because they're totally entertaining to watch. I don't know that I feel that way about the Chargers now, but that's a different situation. Okay. We come to our final team on the AFC side, greatest quarterbacks in franchise history. And this one is not that tough for me. The Oakland Raiders have gone to 5 Super Bowls. They have won 3 of them. And one of the reasons is because they have had some decent quarterbacks. Well, okay, they've had 2 decent quarterbacks. Maybe you could throw a third in there. And this young one they've got now could be very, very good. I do like what Derek Carr is doing with the Oakland Raiders and how he's at least getting them to be relevant again. But I had 2 guys on my list for the Raiders, and I guess I could put a third on there if you made me. How does your list look?
I'm in agreement with you, and I'm going to go on a limb and say we've probably got the same 1 and 2.
I would think so.
You know, my number one took them to 5 straight AFC championship games in the 70s. You know, still owns a few franchise records that will be beat by Derek Carr if he stays healthy, but
sure.
Kenny Stabler.
Yeah. Yeah, if I had one drive to win a game, I'm not saying he's the only guy, but I would not be opposed to taking Ken Stabler to win it for me.
The crowd takes up a chant of defense. Robisky and Banaszak are the back. Slot right. Branch inside. Bradshaw, Stabler back. Here comes the rush. He sidesteps. Can he throw? He can't. The ball flipped forward is loose. A wild scramble. 2 seconds on the clock. Casper grabbing the ball. It is rolled a fumble. Casper has recovered in the end zone. The Oakland Raiders have scored on the most zany, unbelievable, absolutely impossible dream of a play. Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here. He does.
He just made plays. The biggest problem for Ken Stabler, his biggest flaw, was he had to go against the steel curtain every year in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, that's tough for anybody. Yeah, and he did manage to beat him once. And maybe you look at that team and you say, with all the talent, maybe he should have won it more than once. But that was probably, if not the best defense in the history of the game, maybe 1, 2, 3, right there. And yep, that was who he had to beat in order to get to the Super Bowl. So it's no wonder he only had the one Super Bowl. But Ken Stabler was really, really good. Like I said, if I just needed one driver, I just needed to finish out a game, yeah, I might take him. And if I do, I'm probably going to be okay. And then our number two guy, as much as everyone loves Super Bowl wins, no one really remembers Jim Plunkett, who did win two of them. And I understand he didn't put up great numbers. He kind of just played his role. But Jim Plunkett, hey, he won two Super Bowls. That's better than a lot of guys did, and those were pretty good teams that he played on in the early 80s.
Yeah, I've got the same number two. Not a flashy guy, just got the job done.
Absolutely. This has been fun to go through and do this on the AFC side, but you know what? We've got to do the NFC side as well, and we will do that next week. But for right now, I got to say thanks to Mike for stopping by, looking at the greatest quarterbacks in franchise history over on the AFC side. Always fun to have you by. You know that you are welcome to come to the Daily Dose anytime.
Enjoyed it. Look forward to wrapping up the NFC with you next week.
Sounds good. Hey, I have to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. It is appreciated. Thank you to Mike and Castle Rock for coming by and giving us his insight on the greatest NFL quarterbacks in history. Like he said, next week we will be catching up with the rest of the league and looking at the greatest quarterbacks for those franchises in the NFC. Feel free to contact us with what's on your mind by emailing us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or heading over to Facebook or Twitter and finding us over there. If there's someone out there you think we missed, maybe you think we ranked someone a little too high, we would love to hear from you. And next week we will be finishing out the greatest quarterbacks in NFL franchise history. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.
Now let's get one thing straight. The Vauxhall Vivaro puts in a shift. It's a real van that doesn't flinch at a hefty load. Space to handle the big stuff with up to 8.6 cubic meters of vanliness. Bluetooth and USB connectivity and a range of efficient engines. In other words, it's a real van's van. It's...
Here you go, sir. Your hazelnut and caramel soy latte.
Oh, with sprinkles.
Certainly, sir.
Like I said, a real van's van.
Get van savvy with the Vauxhall Vivaro. Contact your Vauxhall retailer today for a quote.